If you would turn now to Luke chapter 23. I'm reading verses 44 through 49. This is page 884 in the Pew Bible. Luke chapter 23, verses 44 through 49. This is the word of the Lord. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." One of the criminals crucified with Christ called upon the name of Christ. Jesus, remember me. His request of Christ is the request of true faith in Christ. And I say of true faith because his was not the only request made of Christ. The other criminal also made a request of Christ. And what was his request? Luke chapter 23, verse 39. "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." His too is a request from Christ. His too is a request for salvation from Christ. And yet he is described in that very verse as having blasphemed Christ. What makes his request blasphemous and the others true? Do they not both look to Christ for salvation? What then makes them different? The difference lies in the kind of salvation each one is seeking from Christ. The one seeks to be delivered from the cross. The other seeks to be delivered through the cross. The one is seeking the kingdom without the cross. The other is seeking the kingdom by the cross. The one despises the cross. The other embraces it. To reject the cross of Christ is to blaspheme Christ. True faith rests in the cross of Christ. The one will only believe in Jesus if he comes down from the cross. The other believes on Jesus even as he stays on the cross. Here is the good confession, that Jesus must enter the kingdom of God through his death on the cross. This is why Jesus says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus makes clear that his death is not an obstacle to his entering the kingdom of God. Jesus makes clear that his death is the very way by which he will enter the kingdom of God. He will not enter his kingdom despite his death. He will enter it because of his death. For that kingdom is one that can only be entered through death and resurrection. And so we see that Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. This, too, is a difference between the criminals and what they sought from Jesus. In requesting to be delivered from the cross, the one was seeking a kingdom of this world. In requesting to be remembered beyond the cross, the other was seeking a kingdom beyond this world. Jesus' kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. Jesus' kingdom is a heavenly one. That is why he speaks of his kingdom as paradise. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul speaks of this same paradise as the highest heaven. It is not a paradise of man. It is the paradise of God. The kingdoms of this world are gained with the weapons of this world. The kingdom of God is gained with the cross of Jesus Christ. The kingdoms of the earth are gained when their rulers shed the blood of others. The kingdom of heaven was gained when Christ shed his own blood on behalf of others. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This request is the request of true faith. And so it is that Jesus promises to grant this request. But he does not promise to grant it one day. He promises to grant it that very day. But how will he? How will he grant it? How is it that Jesus' death opens the way into his kingdom? To answer this question, we must look at the way in which his death is described. We must consider what is said to have taken place at his death. In verse 44, we read that it was about the sixth hour. Now, the sixth hour was not 6 o'clock, for the day began with the rising of the sun. The sixth hour of the day would have been the middle of the day. The sixth hour of the day would have been noon. But why does Luke tell us that it was about the sixth hour of the day? Perhaps because it was true. There is something more to it than that. For what is the significance of the sixth hour of the day? The sixth hour of the day, as the middle of the day, is that time when the sun reaches its highest point in the sky. The sixth hour of the day is the brightest part of the day. But what do we read in verse 44? At the brightest hour of the day, we read that there was darkness over the whole land. In verse 45, we are told that the sun's light had failed. But what was the significance of this darkness? Why was the death of Jesus surrounded in darkness? Luke is not simply telling us that strange things accompanied the death of Jesus. Strange things that might suggest to us the importance of what was happening. Luke is telling us instead the things that took place because these things tell us the meaning of what was happening. They tell us how we are to interpret the death of Jesus. But if we would understand the darkness of the sun at the death of Jesus, we must read it against the background of the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the darkness of the sun at day, it is a sign of divine judgment. The darkness of the sun at day is a sign of the coming of the day of the Lord. We see this in places like Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 9. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and destroy sinners from it. For the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will put an end to the pomp of the arrogant, and lay low the pompous pride of the ruthless. In Scripture, the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. But it is not just any day of judgment. The day of the Lord is the final judgment. It is that day when the Lord will judge all the earth. The darkness of the sun at day, it is a sign that the day of the Lord has come. The darkness of the sun at day is a sign that the end of the world has come. And we see this not only in the Old Testament. We see it also in the New Testament. We see it in the book of Revelation, at the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood. The sky vanished like a scroll. And every mountain was removed from its place. Then everyone hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who was seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?" In the day of the Lord, at the end of this world, when God judges all the earth, the light of the sun will fail. How does that help us to understand the death of Jesus? For the death of Jesus did not take place at the end of the world. Or did it? What does the author of Hebrews say? In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says about when the death of Jesus took place. The author of Hebrews tells us that the sacrifice of Jesus, the sacrifice of himself, took place at the end of the ages. The author of Hebrews tells us that Jesus putting away sin by his death took place at the end of the world. But how can that be? Since we know that the death of Jesus took place in the middle of history, not at its end. Has the author of Hebrews lost his mind? The author of Hebrews has not lost his mind. He wants us to understand the significance of what took place, of what happened at the death of Jesus. And so does Luke. The darkening of the sun at day. It tells us the meaning of Jesus' death. What does it tell us? The darkening of the sun at day. It tells us that in Jesus, the end of the world has come. The darkening of the sun at day tells us that in Jesus, the final judgment has come. Verse 44 says that there was darkness over the land. But verse 44 may also be translated, there was darkness over the earth. In Jesus, at his death, the end of the world came. In Jesus, at his death, the day of the Lord arrived. Here we see the meaning of his death. The judgment which he endured, it was not just any judgment. The judgment that he endured was the final judgment, when God will pour out his wrath against sin. The judgment that Jesus endured was that same judgment that will be poured out upon the earth at the end of this world. It is this very judgment that was poured out upon Jesus at his death on the cross. This is how Jesus was able to enter into his kingdom through his death. He passed through the judgment that marks the end of this world, and entered into that world that is to come. He passed through that final judgment that marks the end of this world and the beginning of the next. And he did this not only for himself, he did this also for his people. And this is why he was able to say, "Today you will be with me in paradise." On the cross, Jesus bore the final judgment of God against the sins of his people. On the cross, Jesus bore the fullness of God's wrath that will be revealed at the end of this age. In Jesus, that judgment has already passed. In Jesus, that wrath has already been satisfied. Amos chapter 8, verse 9. "And on that day, declares the Lord God, I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feasts into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like the mourning for an only son, and the end of it like a bitter day." The day of Jesus' death. Truly, it was a day of lamentation. A day of mourning for an only son, for the only Son of God. It was a day of darkness. As God judged the sins of his people and the death of his Son. But that day did not end in darkness. It ended in light. For in Jesus, the wrath of God has been satisfied. Do you fear the day of the Lord? Do you tremble at the final judgment? Through faith in Christ, you need no longer fear. You need no longer tremble. The judgment which Jesus endured, it was the full and final judgment of God against all your sins. Thus, your forgiveness is full
and final. Thus your salvation is full and final. In Christ, your mourning is turned into feasting. In Christ, your lamentation is turned into song. In Christ, there is now no condemnation for those who are in him. Let us then give thanks to God for the death of his Son on our behalf. Amen. Let us pray.